the bond to fund a new Skagway public safety facility, and a sales tax increase to support the bond will appear on the October ballot. And state transportation planners visit the Upper Lynn Canal this week to go over the draft plan for the region. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week adopted an ordinance limiting the amount of herbicides that can be used by property owners within the borough, while also establishing the foundation for education and encouraging the use of alternative forms of weed control in the original Alaska Garden City. The ordinance has been in the works for months. It started last year when the State Department of Environmental Conservation announced it was revamping its public process and involvement when state agencies use chemical herbicides on state property. Several Southeast communities objected to that move, and some, like Skagway and Petersburg, looked at developing ordinances to limit or ban herbicides use locally. In Skagway, work on that ordinance stalled when it became apparent the state wouldn't have to abide by a local ban. But earlier this year, White Pass Yukon Route Railroad announced it wanted to do a one-time herbicide spraying to control vegetation along its tracks. The company decided later to postpone that spraying for this summer. But the conversation started again, and Skagway Assemblyman Steve Burnham began working on the ordinance to ban the sale or use of non-organic herbicides. There were several discussions at the assembly and committee level, which finally led to the ordinance passed Thursday. Instead of an outright ban, the ordinance limits the amount of restricted dry and liquid herbicides property owners can use. It also establishes a list of restricted chemicals using information from the Environmental Protection Agency and other Canadian and European agencies. Property owners will have to post notice nearby when they plan on using any restricted chemicals. There is an appeal process for vegetative emergencies, and the city will actively encourage residents to use alternative forms of weed control rather than the restricted chemicals. The final ordinance was a culmination of compromise and research, said Assemblymember Gary Hansen.
And it represents a compromise that we hope will allow all sides to work together on this.
The ordinance still doesn't affect the state's use of any herbicides or pesticides on state roads and lands within the borough. There were only 4 assembly members present at Thursday's meeting, but the ordinance passed unanimously. In a more exhaustive discussion, the assembly also took up the issue of a bond for a new public safety building and an increase to the sales tax to pay for it. A new public safety facility has been in the works for some time. With a cost estimate of about $12 million, voters will ultimately decide whether to bond for the project, a project Mayor Mark Schaefer says is needed.
The buildings we use now are wholly inadequate for the industry we serve. They're quite shameful, in fact, and the fire hall is 45 years old. It's totally inadequate.
He also spoke in favor of the 1% sales tax increase in the summer months to cover the bond payments.
The industry that provides our economy here drives the need and will therefore support paying for this facility.
The town normally imposes a sales tax holiday from October through March, so the sales tax increase would only be in effect during the rest of the year. There was some public comment about whether bonding for the project was a sound financial move, and the assembly members responded with a resounding yes. Here's Finance Committee Chair Dan Henry.
This community has never been in this good of financial shape in its life, in its entire time. Never. Not even, it doesn't even come close. There is no section in time that comes close to the health that we have financially in this community. So spending's not out of control. It's an easy buzz phrase to throw out there to pitch from the cheap seats. No, spending's not out of control. We're trying to address some things that have to be addressed.
The increase in sales tax is estimated to bring in about $1.2 million a year, which should be more than enough to cover the bond payment, according to Henry's projections. Hansen also introduced an amendment to sunset the 1% increase once the bond principal and interest has been paid off. The amendment and main ordinance passed unanimously. Both questions will now go before voters in the October 7th municipal election for final approval. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday. There are several items on the consent agenda that may not come up for discussion. But of the issues that are scheduled for discussion is the introduction of an ordinance to amend borough code regarding permits for special ski events. We reported earlier on the details that the Commerce Committee is introducing for the ordinance. The Assembly will also discuss an ordinance amending code to allow off-premises business signs. That ordinance also comes to the Assembly after work in the Commerce Committee. And the Assembly will vote whether to confirm the hire of Darcy Kolbeck as the Community and Economic Development Director at the Borough. An executive session is also scheduled to discuss the pending administrative appeal from residents regarding the conditional use permit for a private heliport off Chilkat Lake Road. The Haynes Assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at the Haynesboro website. We've also linked to the packet with this report on our KHNS News website. Skagway and Haynes get the chance this week to weigh in on the state's latest draft of the Southeast Transportation Plan. The meeting in Skagway is Tuesday in Assembly Chambers in City Hall. An open house starts at 5:30, with the public meeting scheduled to begin at 6:30. The same format holds for the Haynes meeting Wednesday in Assembly Chambers starting at 5:30. The state has been holding meetings on the draft plan during the last several weeks. Officials have faced skepticism on the plan and may receive an earful from Skagway and Haynes residents and officials, where the plan, if implemented as written, could have some profound effects. One of the trends the DOT has identified is an excess of capacity on the state's ferry system. Southeast region planners say ridership has not risen despite relatively stable fares. That means the Marine Highway could retire a ferry and still have enough capacity for the current demand, according to the plan. The plan recommends doing just that with the old main line ships. Those are the vessels connecting Southeast Alaska communities to Bellingham or Prince Rupert. It recommends replacing or retiring the Malaspina, Matanuska, and Taku by year 2024. Two planned Alaska-class ferries would take up service in Lynn Canal, and one new mainline ferry could be built for an estimated $226 million. Most famously, the draft plan recommends moving ahead with the Juneau Access Road Project to shorten the ferry route times in Lynn Canal. A ferry terminal would be built in Katsahine. Ferries would take passengers between Skagway and Haynes and between Haynes and Katsahine to hook up with the road. Other meetings were held in Petersburg, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Cake over the last several weeks. The Skagway and Haynes meetings are the final public meetings before the deadline for comments. Written comments are being accepted on the plan until September 30th. The document can be viewed on the Department of Transportation Southeast Region website or through a link with this report on our KHNS website. Again, the time for those meetings is Tuesday in Skagway beginning at 5:30 in Assembly Chambers and Wednesday in Haynes beginning at 5:30 in Haynes Assembly Chambers. The Klondike Trail of 98 International Road Relay went off this weekend, with a rainy course unable to dampen a record-sized field of teams and runners. 181 teams left Skagway Friday evening en route to Whitehorse. Top finishers included two teams from Anchorage, the top open and top women's teams. The top open team finished in just over 11 hours with a pace of about a 6-minute mile. The top women's team finished in just over 13 hours. A Juneau team took the top mixed team spot, while Whitehorse teams took several other categories. A Skagway team took the top spot in the walking category, finishing the car cross to Whitehorse course in just over 10 hours. And while normally the 10-leg race is run by teams of multiple people, a new category this year attracted some racers to the extreme. Three men signed up for this year's ultra category, running the entire 109-mile course on their own. One of the men from Chicago did not finish, but the other two, 54-year-old Klaus Stolpe and 29-year-old Houston Laws, both of Juneau, kept a schedule together and finished within 6 seconds of each other. Both took 23 hours and 34 minutes to finish the race. When interviewed by KTOO before the race, Stolpe said it was his first race that's longer than a marathon.
Officially it is. I mean, of course, like a lot of the Juneau crowd, I fell in with a good group of guys, and once in a while they drag you out onto the mountain for you know, 30-plus miles, but you don't realize it until you're done. So,
Stolpe said he was running in honor of Glenn Frick, a pioneer of running culture in Juneau, who died in March at the age of 75. Stolpe asked Laws, an experienced ultra runner, to keep him company on the Klondike. A few minutes before starting the race in Skagway, Laws described their plan.
We'll budget some times to walk. We'll budget some times to rest. Probably average at least 5 resting points for 30 minutes, totally off our feet, the feet out of the shoes, and changing socks if necessary, changing clothes to help with chafing, and just trying to be as comfortable as you can be doing a 100-mile race.
The pairs estimated they'd average about a 13-minute mile pace through the varied terrain. They did a little better than that with a 12-minute 55-second pace, giving them an average of 4.6 miles an hour. You can find complete unofficial results on the Klondike Road Relay website, and we've posted a link to the results with this report. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.